5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. We're closing out the month of April, and I think April is an underrated sports month. The draft, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup Finals, baseball's getting into a groove. I love having options. I'm going to be honest with you. I was sitting around watching the NFL draft, a couple of cold beers in the fridge. Yes, I am a beer snob. And swinging between NBA games, NHL games, a little bit of Thor: Dark World. I was in a good place. I was having a very good time. And since I'm pretty NFL addicted, I mean sports in general, but NFL is just, I mean, it's just at your core. I signed up for a few new podcasts this weekend. Started off with Pro Football Talk PM. Now, I like the Pro Football Talk site, even though it's basically an aggregator. They don't really report anything. They take the hard work of other reporters and repurpose the content. But I get all the news in one spot and then go to the original story link when I need or want more detail. So I'm a supporter of Pro Football Talk. Have to say, I was really annoyed with the podcast. Mike Florio must have mentioned hashtag PFT Posse about 20 times in the first 5 minutes, and then talked about his marathon running and favorite movies. This was a day after the first round of the draft. Why not just call it the Mike Florio Getting to Know You Hour? I don't know. Kind of bored and bothered me. Kind of self-indulgent. Then again, he's a millionaire and I'm a thousandaire, so maybe I need to be more self-promotional, tell you what I had for breakfast, and share my top 10 albums of all time. Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet, probably around number 4. So if anyone has any good podcast recommendations, I'm talking sports, true crime, history, biography, science, I'm up for it. I love good content. So share. Go on to our private Facebook group. Tell me your favorite podcast. Tell me what you're listening to right now, other than this show. I need some new stuff on the dial, and I can't listen to myself. It's really weird. Trust me. Before I jump into today's question from Hannah Carson, I have a success story from fan of the podcast and member of our private Facebook group, Carson Mason. Two Carsons today. I'm going to try not to mess this up. So this is from Carson Mason, who's a student at University of South Carolina. I want to let you know I've accepted a new media internship with the Pittsburgh Penguins for the summer. I want to thank you for your counsel and guidance in my summer internship research. I did a Skype interview for this internship and listened to your podcast on video interviews the night before. The podcast helped calm my nerves and made me more confident for the interview. I've learned so much about the sports industry and job process from your podcast episodes and cannot thank you enough. Thanks again for your help and keeping up the awesome podcast. So I will take a moment to be self-indulgent here. You guys probably noticed there are no ads on this show. We at WorkinSports.com aren't using this platform to generate revenue. I'm not saying we never will, but that was not the plan with this concept. We wanted to help. We wanted to share information that can drive you further in your career. We wanted to help you be successful. And it's working. I'm getting emails like this 2 to 3 times per week, and it gives all of us at WorkinSports.com great joy and satisfaction. So I hope that it also inspires you to go to our site because there's more content like this. And there's also over 7,000 sports jobs that are available across the nation that many of them aren't listed anywhere else that we have employment partnerships with. So it's a great resource for you in your career. Get the information from me on this podcast and on our blog. Go to our site, find the job opportunities and gain the confidence to be out there and applying for these roles and using a lot of the skills and techniques we talk about here and applying them like Carson did. And I'm very thrilled. Trust me, it makes me very happy to know that we're making a positive change. So good luck, Carson, and thank you. You really made my day. Now let's switch Carsons, go to today's question from Hannah Carson, a student at Xavier University who's jumping into the entry-level job market and wants to know about salary negotiation. Okay, here's her question. My question is related to asking those awkward questions related to salary. As someone who's entering the full-time job search, it's a tough situation. For years, I've worked internships and graduate assistantships just to gain experience, regardless of what I got paid. I'm at the part of my life now where that is simply impossible to do anymore. I've seen a lot of job descriptions that ask you to list your salary expectations, and I don't want to ask for too much for an entry-level position, but I also don't want to undervalue myself or leave money on the table. What is your advice on finding a balance between the two, or how to approach that topic with potential employers? Okay, so Hannah, I'm going to be honest, I hate salary questions, but they are so important. Talking salary feels so personal. But again, this is one of the foundational aspects of job seeking and career building. So we have to talk about it. I mean, there's certain pillars of this industry, and like when you're getting a job in the sports industry or any industry, it's things like gaining experience through internships and interviewing and salary negotiation and networking. And those are like the pillars of conversation. So we have to talk about them, even if it can be really awkward. There are two things in play here. There is a face-to-face negotiation, and then there is the blank space in an application. So I've noticed more and more applications, when you're filling out your initial interest through their applicant tracking system, whatever it may be, they're asking you to declare a requested salary. I think this was done to have people self-censor themselves or to throttle their desires, because they're really playing with your mind in a way. Think about it. You see that blank space that says salary requirement, and the first thing you think is, I don't want to say something too high or else they won't consider me, right? We all do it. That's what we all think initially. Like, I got to think lower than what I'm probably worth because I don't want them to exclude me before they even look at my resume. We all do it. We all think we'll be kicked out from consideration if we don't undervalue ourselves. That's backwards. I want you to change and frame your mind differently in this process. You need to value yourself along with your skill set and value to a team or an organization. So the process you need to go through is to value yourself correctly and then add 5%. I'm serious. This is your new calculus. So let's start with the first part of that sentence. You have to value yourself correctly. So how do you do that? Well, there are sites out there that give salary information, but I think it tends to be generic and not all that helpful. I remember looking to those sites when I was hiring an anchor once. So I wanted to see how other large markets compared to where we were. I was in Seattle at the time, and I wanted to see, what is an anchor getting paid in New York? What is an anchor getting paid in Chicago, Dallas, whatever, other top 10 markets? And I thought that I would be able to compare and contrast. When I looked through that, it was laughably low on the data that was out there, whether it's a Bureau of Labor Statistics, salary.com, other sites that are out there. So don't really trust that. That's my first piece of advice. The best way to find accurate data is to find out from people who are actually out there. If you are in college, you have the ultimate research guide, your career services department or your career center or whatever they call it on your campus. They'll be able to give you a list of recent graduates out in the workforce who are your most applicable source for salary information. If you graduate from a sports management program, you better believe they have a bank of alumni who also graduated from your program and got jobs. They want those names. They want to be able to celebrate their success stories. So go talk to those people. Find a list of alumni who have recently gotten into the workforce, say over the last 1 to 4 years, let's say. Now, this part's really important, so pay attention. You do not want to ask, when you get their contact information, okay, or you find a way to reach out to them, or you connect with them on LinkedIn, explain your story. Hey, I'm in the same situation like you were a few years ago. I went to the same school. We got the same degree. I've got some opportunities out there. I want to I'm doing a little research to find out more about salary ranges. You do not want to ask them, so how much do you make? You ask them, do you think $35,000 is a good starting wage or is that too low? Or you say, do you think between 32 and 38 is a good range? You put them in a yes, no question, and it is much more comfortable for them to answer. Now think about that. Think about them in their shoes, how they're feeling. If they get a question that says, do you think approximately around $35,000 is a good starting wage? They can say yes, or they can say, no, I think that's too low, or I think that might be too high. That's comfortable to them. If you say, so how much do you make? That is very intrusive and personal. And they're like, who the heck are you to ask me that? You know, it puts them on the defensive right away, or in a range that could be embarrassing to them. I mean, I'm being completely honest. When I started in 1996, I think my first offer was $19,000. I mean, barely a living wage in Atlanta. But that's not the point. My point is I probably wouldn't have wanted to tell anybody that. But if somebody gave me a range and said, hey, you know, is 23 a good starting point? I probably would have said, yeah, that seems like it's about right. Anyway, my point is give them an easy layup question. Give them a range or give them a concept and then give them the opportunity to say yes or no. And you're much more likely to get a response, a thoughtful response. once you get an idea on range, once you've done enough research, say you've gotten five people to respond to you and to give you a little bit of a range, work in some geographic numbers, figure out cost of living based in certain areas. There are definitely calculators for that, and those tend to be pretty accurate. So you're taking the data this person gave you and establishing it to their location and comparing it to the location you are looking in. All right. So then you get your range. You're working down this number. You're using real data. Then add 5%. Not a crazy bump. You're not adding 25%, but a slight bump from what recent alumni were making, which is a totally reasonable cost of living plus my value is high because I'm a good employee assumption. That's how you fill out the blank on your application. You want to be in that range. It's a negotiation. Remember, even stating it, it's like you're buying a house or you're buying a car. If you're within a range that is reasonable, you're going to still be considered. If you go 25% over range, then you're going to be like, nah, don't need you. But if you do your research, you figure out what a reasonable range is and add a little bit to that, you're in the range of conversation and that's where you want to be. So do your legwork first and figure out the data points that can help you triangulate the salary request you want to make. Now, let's move into the face-to-face part. We still go at this very timidly. So now I'm imagining maybe you did an application that didn't have anything about salary in there. You've done a phone interview. You get called in for a face-to-face interview. And there's a point where they're going to talk about salary. It's going to happen. We still go at this very timidly. We think we have no leverage because we're entry level and we need a job. Of course, it helps if you have multiple offers. You can then negotiate and know you have a backup plan if it blows up. But if you don't have multiple offers, you still have leverage, more than you think. We had a question come up on our private Facebook group about a month ago. Someone was being flown in for a final interview and wanted some advice. And I told them, if you're being brought in, especially flown in for a face-to-face, they've determined already you have the skills they need, you passed the personality test by talking to them on the phone. It's really your job to lose, so just don't screw it up. The point here is you have more leverage than you think. Hiring is also stressful. Hiring is also hard. As somebody who's an employer and might be in charge of hiring, you're looking through our resumes for hours. You're interviewing people on the phone. You're scheduling all these meetings. You're doing background checks. You're checking references. You're talking with your staff about their needs. You've gone through a huge process. You think someone wants to start that process over because a qualified, vetted candidate asked for 5% over their initial offer? Hell no. You don't want to start over again. You're actually, if you do a great job in the interview process, you nail the skills, you nail the personality, you show them your ambition, your desire, your skill, all that sort of stuff, all the other soft skills. I mean, listen to our podcast expert interviews. They want those soft skills to really come through during the face-to-face interviews. If you nail all that stuff and then you ask for 5% over your value, 10% over what your initial value is determined when you did your research, do you think they're going to say no? No, they're going to battle for you because they've become attached to your potential and what you can do for the company. You've proven to them that you're an asset they want and they don't want to start this process over again. They're going to go to their bosses and say, you know what? I think this is the right person and let's see if we can get them down to this number, but I think that they're in the right range. By the time you get face to face with a potential employer, they're already so invested in you. You have leverage too. Just don't be crazy. Do your research into the right salary range, bump it up a little from there, and say it with confidence. I think that covers Hannah's question, but I think we have a lot more to talk about in regards to salary and negotiation. So expect some more content coming up in that regard in the near future. There's a lot more we need to talk about as far as handling salary conversations. But for now, this Wednesday, in 2 days from now, Deandra Duggins, manager of advertising and branding with the Baltimore Ravens. It's an awesome interview. Excited to publish it. So please tune back in on Wednesday. Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation, and I will talk to you later in the week. We'll be right back.